Father, I thank you, Lord, for the gathering of your people to yourself again this morning and afternoon. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. Hallelujah. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And so let it be even here today. As many as are here listening in the moment, or may listen later on through the replays, you know, let our hearts be blessed and energized, and we hear the word of God and receive all the glory to yourself. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, I want to talk about, this is a companion lesson to the one we just concluded. We've been talking about triple action faith. And here we want to talk about how you can master your faith growth process. In other words, you know, not just be, you know, like Hebrews says, to say, for when ye ought to be teachers or masters, you have need that one should be still telling you, you know, the basic things, you know. So, you know, God wants us to move from, you know, those basic and elementary things to becoming masters of faith. So, and one way of becoming masters of faith is through patience. And so we're going to connect those dots today. Like I said, it's a companion lesson to the one just concluded. So let's open our hearts and our minds to hear the word of the Lord. As always, I say we got to engage the message in the spirit in order for it to be a blessing to us. Why do we always say that? Well, because Jesus said the same thing. In John chapter 6 and verse 63, declared to the people that, you know, the words that he speaks, that they are spirit and that they are life. But at the same time, also, he said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. So, the flesh profiting nothing means being physically present alone does not give you an advantage unless you engage in the spirit, which is why we say that from time to time. Praise the Lord. Now let's consider, you know, some scriptures, and again, these things are reminders. There's nothing that you've never heard before. But as you hear it again, Holy Spirit will show you something. You know, show you something. Something new each time that we hear the word of God and you engage in the spirit. Lord will bring to you something new. Praise the Lord. So on the subject of mastering your faith, number one, what does it mean, you know, like we said, to be a master of a subject? You know, we call, you know, in contemporary business, we call those subject matter experts or SMEs. Well, how can you become a subject matter expert on faith? You know, that's the legacy that we're trying to leave here through this platform for everyone to become a subject matter expert. And that means you're not just a baby trying to figure it out. You've already figured it out. And when you have figured it out, then you are practicing it. And actually, you yourself can teach it. For the time you ought to be teachers, it's Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, teachers or masters or rabbi, those words are used interchangeably in the Gospels. When you should be teachers or rabbi or master, you have need that one should be teaching you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know, he said, look, he's not happy with that. He wants you to be on the strong side, not on the weak side. Everyone, he said, that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Well, it's a baby. It's unskillful. That means it's not a master. He hasn't mastered the art. It's still unskillful. But, you know, strong meat belongs to them that are full age, or those, you know, who have become masters of the subject at hand. And they, by reason of use, through experience, through patience, they've learned, you know, how to discern things and figure things out. And, you know, this is really where God wants us to be, is to be able to take care of things and figure things out. Now, this was his plan from the beginning. We always go back to that, so that we don't lose sight of it. Adam was supposed to be in charge. And, you know, he's supposed to know things. And he did know things. In fact, he knew things instantly through the package, you might call it. It was a full package that God deposited on him when he breathed into him the breath of life. Contained a full package. Knowledge of the Holy Spirit. I mean, same knowledge that the Holy Spirit had deposited in him. He didn't have to, you know, learn. He knew things at once. He didn't have to learn to crawl or walk or all those things. He was an instant son of God. And God wanted, you know, us, everyone that would come through Adam, to be like that. And now, when we look back, knowing that that was lost, well, we need to get back to that point also where we are full sons of God, grown masters of faith, and we take care of business. Praise the Lord. And you've seen it throughout the lessons that Jesus, during his lifetime, experienced around his disciples, showed us. And those Gospels were just a record of Jesus's physical life, you know, around the disciples. Times when they would panic that Jesus wasn't impressed about. So, how then do we become masters on this subject of faith? Well, through all of these things that you have been hearing, for faith cometh by hearing, right? And hearing, you know, by the word of God and so on. We'll come to that. But let me read a text to us through the book, I mean, from the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Let's read some text here. And how that faith and patience work together. Praise the Lord. So we're going to read from Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll just pick it up from verse 10. He said, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show and continue to show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. For when God made promise to Abraham, when he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Now listen to this. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And today, people call him father of faith. Well, we were told here that he was through patience, that he got to the point where his faith was established. And people look back now and say, wow, that was great faith. He went through all of that. Well, he was actually patience. Patiently endured, he obtained the promise. In the same chapter of Hebrews, we learn that, we have need of patience. We have need of patience. This man, he himself was patient in enduring. What was he enduring in his own particular case? Well, enduring the apparent delay of the promise. He had to wait a long time for it, for whatever reason. We covered some of the, some of the reasons why the delay might have been before, but nonetheless, he had to wait and to experience the blessing, or to, for him to get that blessing, he had to endure. In this same book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 36, Hebrews 10, 36, we learn that we have need of patience. And so let's read that. We're trying to connect the pieces between faith and our patience. Now, ye have need of patience, he says. In fact, let me start from verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Well, why didn't you receive the promise right off the bat? Why is it after? Well, that's what we are learning through these lessons. God wants us to develop what you might call spiritual resilience through patience. And then it's also through that patience that we get many things from the Lord. Luke 21 and 19. In your patience, possess ye your souls. David gave a testimony of his life in the book of Psalms 40, first couple of verses or so. He talked about his own testimony of how, he had to patiently wait. The story of David is interesting in many aspects. When he was least expecting it, he wasn't even thinking about it. God sent a prophet to anoint him as king. Indeed, he was anointed as king, but he could not get to that throne. In fact, until a considerable time afterward. And it looked as if, in fact, he wouldn't even get there. Because the current one that was there, the current king, was always trying to kill him. And he had to run all over the place. Even though he was already anointed as king, yet he really could not ascend to that throne. And so he says here in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and I put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. So, he went through a lot, and that was his testimony, you know, at the end. Well, as we are going through whatever our story is, the question is, what is our own testimony? And what is the your answer of faith through the things that you are confronted with? Now, in the book of James, chapter 1, we read a lesson that James puts across about how, you know, we must go through some stuff, how we need to go through it, you know, to build up our confidence and our faith. He said, brethren, count it all joy when you shall fall into diverse trials and testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Again, we're still connecting the dots between faith and patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, how does the trying of your faith work patience? Some people may have a wrong understanding. Faith is not produced by our trials. Now, let's clarify that. But rather, it is tested through those trials. And it is your faith that is actually being tested during those trials. He said, the trial of your faith. So it's your faith that's on trial. Now, it's not the test that's going to produce your faith, but your faith that's already there is being tested during those trials. Now, I hope we get the difference. But there is something that the trials can produce. Trials will not produce the faith. You got to have faith to make it through the trials. But the trials will produce something, and that's called patience. Now, patience is a product of those trials when we endure. Now, faith by itself comes from hearing the word of God, you know, and exercising yourself therein. Romans 10 and 17. It's not, faith doesn't come from trials. Faith comes from hearing the word of God and exercising yourself in the word of God. You know, however, when your faith is put to the test through trials, if you endure, then it produces patience. You learn patience, you know, through the things that you might face and suffer. Let's define, you know, patience as passive waiting versus active endurance. I want to talk about those two things. There is active endurance. There's also sometimes passive waiting. Even though you're passively waiting, we've talked about that in the last series. You know, it doesn't mean that you wait and do nothing. And some things that you may do, depending on how the Holy Spirit leads you. Sometimes you gotta wait. Sometimes you are actively engaging and enduring through the things, and the Holy Spirit is guiding you. So we may have, experience, patience through enduring. And sometimes, you're waiting. Now, Paul, he talked to Timothy. He said, look, if you want to consider yourself as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, then you have to endure hardness. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. See, so in order for us to consider ourselves as a good soldier, we've got to go through some training, soldiers in the real world that have to go through, they got to go through a lot of training. They put them through, some physical exertion and, training that, ordinary people cannot endure because of the things that they have been trained for. And they got to be able to go through all kinds of things as part of their training. Well, Paul is saying, for you to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ as well, some of your training comes through all the hardships and the hardness that you may need to endure. And these things are, what leads to patience. While you're going through it, though, you got to patiently. Now, unfortunately, even though we know that we should patiently endure, many times there are many trials that lead to bitterness and discouragement if the trials are not received with faith and joy. So that's what James was trying to convey. Those trials will lead to bitterness, discouragement, etc., if it is not received with joy, So that's why I say, count it all joy. And blessed is the man that endureth those trials. Verse 12 of James 1. For when he is tried and he endures, successfully comes through it, well, then he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So when these things of life, and we all, with no exception, face these things from time to time. One day, everything is good. The next day, something happens. Well, we need to be intentional. Learning to become masters of faith through patience also demands that we are intentional when we are passing through the trials. Intentional that we're going to do it with joy, to know that, something is being built up in us. Now, I call it the answer of faith. Well, what is the question, if you're answering it? Well, the question is the things that life throws at you. How do you answer them back? In other words, what's your response? How do you respond to the things, There are some things that we can avoid. Some things may not be avoidable. Some things may come to us anyhow, while we are not paying attention. Whatever the situation is, what's your response? How do you respond back? If the God promised something and is delayed. Now, there may be reasons for those delays, which we've covered. But what's your response? Well, and what's your answer of faith? The answer of faith is resilience, endurance, patience, and joy, through the process. That's the real answer of faith. That's the person that has mastered the faith growth process. It also helps your faith to grow. Faith comes initially from hearing the word of God, but you grow it through the things that you see God do. You know, so now you've seen him take you through those trials. You've seen him, you know, in a hand-to-hand combat with the lion. You come out on the winning side. You've seen him, the hand-to-hand combat, you know, against the bear, and you come out as a winner. Now, you have faith that, you know, this Goliath will be as one of them. Because you have grown your faith. You had faith to start with. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Leadeth me beside the still waters. And so on. You know. You know already. You know, even going in when you are in the desert or wilderness. All by yourself with the sheep. And there's all kinds of crazy animals trying to take the sheep from you. You had the faith all along that, you know, the Lord is with you. And, you know, he's going to get you through it. But then your faith actually grows when you endure and go through that conflict and come out as a winner. You know that now, oh my goodness, you know, I actually did do that. And it strengthens you. The, you know, experience through the previous conflict strengthen you for the present conflict. That's what I'm trying to say. We must, you know, allow patience, experience, hope, and all these things to work together. Just like it is written in Romans chapter 5. Let's read a couple of verses out of Romans chapter 5. Again, we're still trying to connect the pieces of faith and patience. You know, during the last lesson or topic, we talked about, you know, sometimes we just, you know, we want things, you know, to happen quickly. Well, it may or may not happen quickly. But when we ask, we got to seek. When we seek, sometimes we still got to go and knock and so on. All those together eventually leads to your answer. But let's read Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. You know, it says, in fact, let me just read it from verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, I mean, we know we have faith through Christ and so on and so forth. You know we have access into the same grace by faith. We understand that. But additionally, you know, we rejoice in trials and tribulations also, knowing that your tribulation worketh patience. You know, so, you know, that's, it grows your patience. You know, learning of your experiences and produce patience. That's what it means by walk it. You know, tribulation produces patience, and patience produces experience. And experience that you have makes you to hope for future victories. You have experience over the lion. You have experience over the bear. Now you are faced with Goliath. You will know that you're going to get the victory. You know, praise the Lord. So, you know, but you can see how these things work. Your patience is needed while you are going through. If you give up, that was one of the faith blockers we talked about in the last lesson. Giving up too quickly. A person that gives up too quickly shows they don't have patience. That's why I call this a companion lesson to the previous. You know, patience is needed. Let's be patient. You have need of patience, we are told. After you have done the will of God, you may inherit the promise. We don't inherit if we don't do the will of God. And we don't inherit if while we are trying to do the will of God, we are not patient. So, doing the will of God, which maybe, you know, God wants us to take us through some things. Fine. But patience must be there. You know, whether it takes 1 day, 2 days, 1 year, 3 years, 4 years, or whatever. Patience through all of that. That is so key. Praise the Lord. Now let's read a few more things and see how God's plans are revealed through the scriptures concerning these things. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. You know, why do we need to go through some things before we get some things? I mean, why is it that since Jesus said that if we ask, we receive, why is it then that and I don't receive right away all the time? We covered many things in the last lesson, but here's another angle, you know, that, you know, we are seeing here. But the God of all grace, 1 Peter 5 and 10, who has called you unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while. Well, let's talk about that. After you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. In other words, you get the thing, and you'll be grounded in rejoicing because you've gone through and God has finally given you what you want. You're now settled in joy. But why must it be after? Why can't it be before? I mean, why must I go through stuff, all this stuff? You know, well, because sometimes that's God's plans. And it's revealed here. You know, it says that you will be perfected through those experiences. In other words, make you perfect is mastering. How do we know that making you perfect is mastering? Well, Jesus explained it in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. Mastering. What does a master and a disciple do? Well, what is discipleship? Let's put it that way. Jesus talks about it in this Luke 6 and 40. Read it again. You might have read it before, but read it again in the light of what we are discussing here, and you will get some understanding. You know, Jesus said the disciple is not above his master. So we see the master is here. He's trying to train the disciple, right? But perfection in this verse is defined as the process of getting to become like the master. So he says, everyone that is perfect. Now, the disciple is not perfect when he started, but the goal is that he should be like his master. And Jesus says, well, when he becomes like his master, we call him perfect. So we see that discipleship is the process of being trained to become like the master who's, you know, doing the training. The disciple is learning. Now put that together with what 1 Peter 5 is saying, you know, when he says, make you perfect. Well, perfect here, according to Luke 6:40, is the process of trying to become a master, like your master. So, putting it all together, you see the theme behind today's lesson. Becoming a master. You know, learning to become that. Growing, you know, your faith to the point where you can become a subject matter expert. Sometimes it comes through a lot of patience. Go through the process. After that you have suffered a while. You know, we all wish that it's not after, it's before, but God knows what he's doing. And if he said it's after, then it is after. And, you know, sometimes you suffer a while. Look at the woman who is pregnant and trying to bring forth that baby. Many of you women here know what I'm talking about. Well, this is the way that we can describe her story. After that, she suffered a while. That while could be a long while. You know, those 9 months might look like 2 years sometimes. You know, the suffering, sometimes the distress they have to go through, morning sickness, you know, pains and aches, this and that, you know. I mean, it just changes in mood and all kinds of things that they have to go through. So far they were. Well, and then at the end, they're going to bring forth this bundle of joy. And Jesus talked about it himself. He said, look, a woman that is pregnant trying to bring forth has sorrow through that process. You know, but, you know, once she brings forth, well, she forgets all that sorrow for joy that a man child is born into the world. You know, so, but there is a process during which she has to go through, and she's sorrow. I mean, she's filled with pain, distress, swollen ankles, swollen this, swollen that. I mean, all kinds of things. But, I mean, not everybody goes through the same things the same way, but these are the general things that they go through. And, you know, but finally, after that she has suffered a while, you know, then she brings forth this bundle of joy. Wouldn't it be wonderful that she just brought forth at the beginning, you know, you know, without even any, you know, of those sorrows? Well, maybe it could have. That might have been the way that they would have brought forth if the sin had not entered into the world. You know, maybe the conception would have been a different way. And the bringing forth might have been a different way. That's another subject. But because God said to her, in sorrow you conceive. I mean, it was like actually a punishment. So, that you know, that reveals to us that there was a different thing that God had in mind in the beginning. You know, there's a way they could have brought forth without going through all of that. But that's a different subject. But anyway, she has to go through all this stuff, you know, in order to bring forth. And it's not the easiest thing in the world when she has to go through that. But eventually, she'll bring forth, you know, for joy. And she will have, you know, tremendous joy when she holds that baby in her hands. In the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, again, connecting patience, you know, with our faith and so forth. It says, well, you should rejoice in the hope of the victory that's coming. You should be patient while you're going through the tribulation or trials. You should continue instant or steadfastly in prayer. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. In the King James, you know, it reads, you know, like this. It says, you know, the rejoicing in hope. Well, let me start from verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, as the key thing we're looking for here, continuing instant in prayer, never giving up, or steadfastly is what that means, and so on. You know, so, you know, but we got to go through these things, and it's part of the process. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, I'm just going to show you some of these scriptures that connect the pieces together. That look, there is a design, you know, from the Master, capital M, about these things. Now, the God of hope, he said, in Romans 15 and 13, fill you with all joy in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, some of that hope comes from what we read in Romans chapter 5. You know, you got to go through the patience, the experience, and all of these things in order to get hope. So if you put Romans 15 and 13 right next to Romans 5, verses 3 and 5, This is the way it will read. Let's do it again. Let's read them in that sequence. Romans 5:3 says, you know, that, you know, not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience, you know, will produce experience, and experience hope, and hope makes us not ashamed. You know, reading that, then you jump to Romans 15 and 13, you can see the progression or the sequence. And now you jump to Romans 15 and 13, and it says, well, the God of hope, you've gone through patience, experience, and hope. The God of hope fill you with all joy through the process, basically, you know, that you may abound in that hope. And the Holy Spirit is the one that would enable you through it. So you can see how the dots are connected. Praise the Lord. Now, it's going to be not a very long lesson today. I just wanted to bring this as a rejoinder or a companion to the concluded lesson. And I have to remember that patience is needed. You know, when we are not patient, we can jump to some conclusions that may make us miss the mark. As God had given promise to Abraham, even to Sarah, well, she endured for a while, but after a while she looked at her own body and said, look, I don't know about this. How long are we going to hold out for this promise? I mean, we've been believing God now for the past 20-something years. Well, I'm getting old. I mean, so, well, patience should not have time limit. You know, there is no definition that says, you know, after 2 days or 3 days or 4 years or 5 years. We don't know. Every case may be different and every situation may be different. You know, but you got to stay right there until it happens. If we yield to the temptation to give up or to, you know, change course or look for something else, well, we see what happened in the case of Sarah. You know, so stay right there with the promise, no matter how long. Same thing that we are waiting for the coming of the Lord. We stay right there with our promise. Scoffers, exterior to your mind, and even your mind sometimes may tell you, where's the promise of his coming? You know, since the fathers fell asleep and so forth, all things are the same way. Well, that's what lack of patience will produce. You know, but we patiently, hallelujah, patiently. You know, the farmer, we're told, when they go through their seasons, planting and harvesting seasons and so forth. Well, we're told that, you know, they go through a lot. And so the scripture tells us also that just like they are patiently waiting for not only the planting rain, you know, and also the harvesting rain. I told also that we should be patient. Listen to this. James chapter 5. And let's read from verse 8. Be ye also patient. Right? Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord. Is at hand. In fact, let me read it from verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. You know, behold, the husbandman, this is what I was talking about, waited for the precious fruit of the earth, you know, while he's waiting, you know. So, in fact, let me read it in a better way. Behold, as the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and while he's waiting, has long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain, even so ye be patient and establish your hearts. I mean, this is the way to read that, those verses. They start out with the planting rain, and they got to, you know, patiently wait for the harvesting rain. There may be months in between. You know, it is what it is. They understand those seasons, and they wait, and they do what they need to do in between. I'm saying, well, in the same way, you also, you know, establish your hearts and wait for the coming of the Lord. It's coming, but you got to wait for it. You know, so what is it also about this waiting that some of the other prophets talked to us about? Well, Habakkuk talked about it in a different way. He said, well, the reason you have to wait is because it looks like the thing is delayed. You know, that's why he said you have to wait. He said the vision may be for an appointed time, but at the end, you know, which means finally, you know, it'll speak. Habakkuk 2 and verse 3. And it will not lie. What God said will come to pass. And though it tarries, in other words, even though it looks like it's delayed, well, wait for it is patience. You know, sometimes it's passively waiting. Sometimes it's actively enduring through something. But either way, you gotta with patience wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not be delayed for too long. Hold on now, not much. It's right around the corner. You know, patience is so key. And people often give up, you know, when their patience, you know, I mean, look, they wait. And it's not forthcoming. And afterwards, you know, they just lose hope or give up. Hope, never lose hope and never give up. You know, the things that we wait for in life that make us to be, when we're waiting, sometimes long, make a lot of people to faint. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 12 tells us something like that. He said, when hope, you're hoping for something. Now, you don't hope for something you already have. You know, scriptures tell us that. Well, why do you hope for something you already have? But when you don't have it, then you with patience, you know, wait for it. Well, sometimes long hope, we're told, makes the heart to be weary. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. You know, so, but I want you to, you know that eventually when that desire cometh, it says it'll be like a tree of life. You know, so read Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12 to give us encouragement. While we are waiting long, the devil will trick you to give up, cause your heart to be weary. But patience, you dig in with your heels. That's what patience is. You dig in right there. You hold your position, you know, and you don't give up. You don't let up. You don't give in, you know, because when the desire comes, and it will come, it'll be like a tree of life, finally, you know. So we must, with patience, wait for it. Now, in the book of Hebrews, as the lesson on faith was being taught in chapter 11, there are a few things that we learn. You know, we learn by saying faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, the evidence of things not yet seen. Well, even if you don't see it and you have to with patience, wait for it. You know, so we must with patience wait for that which we have not seen. When you have seen it and it comes, it's a tree of life. It produces joy. You know, but even we must intentionally with joy wait for it. You know, this is the lesson that I want to convey today, that we must with patience wait for it. We can also talk about testings and trials which we must go through, even persecutions and things of life that we must go through. And that's all part of this life. But while we are going through it, we got to hold on to God's unchanging hands. You know, knowing that what God has promised, He will be good for it. He'll be good for it. And it may not look like it, but it'll be good for it. If we have faith, it gives us an assurance of things that we're still hoping for that we don't see. All connected. Let's read Romans chapter 8. And we read one or two verses there. You know, again, connecting the pieces on faith, hope, and assurance, and so on. Now, here's the way he puts it here. We are saved by hope, he says. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. But hope that is seen is not hope. In other words, you know, if you already have it, there's no need for you to be hoping for it. Because he says, for what a man has already seen and what's already in your hand, why are you yet hoping for it? You can't be hoping for something you already have in hand. But we hope for that which we have not seen. And then we, with patience, wait for it. So this is the summary of today's lesson, right here in this verse. We hope for what we have not seen, and with patience, we wait for it. Yeah. That's really how it must be. Praise the Lord. Patiently waiting for what we are hoping for. And we're told, well, you know, wait for it. It will surely come. And even though it looks like it is tarrying, continue to wait. It will not tarry. But here's some good news that I want to leave with you today. Because, you know, God is making a shortening of the time. I mean, you've been enduring. Well, he says, well, after you've endured for a while. Well, how long is a while? I don't know. But you've been enduring, and now God says, it is time. You know, it is time for you to experience some refreshing. You're not going to have to labor and wait and suffer forever. It's just for a while. And that while is coming to an end. It's time for you to look for what is coming. Say, we do with patience. Wait for it. And you look for it, which goes in line with the lesson we're talking about. You've asked, you know that you're receiving already, but it has not yet appeared. So you look for it. You gotta look for it. Praise the Lord. Here is a promise and some encouragement today. I'm gonna close with this. In the book of Ezekiel, there's a powerful promise that the Lord gives us, you know, concerning this hope, patience, waiting, and all this. You know, We must wait for it, but it's not going to be forever. God is cutting short now the waiting period because you've already been enduring. Now, if you are at the beginning of your waiting period, you may still have to wait. But this is for those who are not at the beginning of their waiting period. They are way deep in that waiting period. You've been waiting, believing, trusting God, and holding on for days, weeks, maybe even years. Well, here is the word of the Lord unto you today. Ezekiel chapter 12, I'm going to read from verses 25 through the end. You know, this was what they were going through. But in fact, let me read it from a few more verses to give us some context. Now, let's start from, maybe verse 21. And just give us a little context. The word of the Lord came unto me. Now, that's Ezekiel saying, son of man, what is this proverb that you have in the land of Israel saying, well, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth because we waited and doesn't come to pass? I mean, this is what people are saying or were saying at the time. Maybe even so now. Maybe you're saying, well, the Lord's promise I will emerge. The Lord's promise I will experience a quantum heap. The Lord said he will do some prophetic repairs in my life. The Lord has said that, epic story is starting. But look at me. I am still here and nothing seems to be happening. I'm forgotten. Sometimes people think, I'm still in my low estate. And yet the Lord said, I will be exalted, I'll be lifted up, and so on. I will increase, I will emerge, I will do these things. And so they say, well, I don't know. The devil and our mind say, well, the days are prolonged, and every vision, this word, these prophetic things that we've heard is failing, it's not happening. Well, tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will make this proverb to cease. Amen. It's our prophetic declaration for you today. This proverb that you have used to say, well, the Lord has said this thing, but I don't see it. Well, the Lord said, I will make this proverb to cease. And they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. Hallelujah. But say unto them, the days are now at hand. And the effect of every vision is just around the corner. For there shall be no more any vain vision, all these things and so forth. For I am the Lord. And I will speak. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Well, let me put it to you this way. For I am the Lord. And I have spoken. And the word that I have spoken shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. For you have endured. And now you will receive the answer of your faith. Hallelujah. And the Lord warned them, though, they should not be rebellious. They were rebellious. He called them a rebellious house. Well, that's not you. You're not rebellious. You're not rebellious. You're a child of God. You love the Lord. You're waiting for him. I'm not a rebellious house. We better not be. People that rebel against the word of God are called rebellious house. He said, look, in your days have I spoken it, and in your days will I perform it also, saith the Lord. And again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel that say the vision that he has seen is for many days. He has told us, emerge, prophetic repairs, quantum leap, epic story. He has told us all these things, but maybe they are far off. We don't see it. Well, he said, therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. Hallelujah. But the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. Now I'm going to pray upon the strength of that promise. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, hasten this word. Your people have patiently waited. So we must with patience wait for it. And your people have patiently waited, Lord. They have endured, and you have spoken in your word that after suffered a while, well, it's been a couple of years now, that you've been telling us we'll emerge, we'll have a quantum leap, we'll experience prophetic repairs, epic stories starting in our life, and all of these wonderful things, which long hope in the heart of sons to be making them to be weary. But now the Lord says, thy word which I have spoken shall no more be delayed. Now I pray, Lord, against the spirit of delay. That's right. There's a spirit of delay. Sometimes we are in partnership with that spirit due to procrastination. But I want to break that here this morning. You have waited, but it has not come. You looked for it, but it came to nothing thus far. Well, perhaps there's a spirit of procrastination. There's a snail spirit that we need to break in here this morning. In the name of Jesus, I speak the word of God. Break that spirit. Hallelujah. Let your children snap out of that spirit of delay. The spirit of delay shall not have dominion over you. Hallelujah. Patience, on the other hand, through experience that God is bringing you through, yes, but not the spirit of delay, not some external spirit that is bringing delay into your life. Lord, we pray that your people who have patiently endured, you said, well, after we have patiently endured, inherit the promise. But Lord, I pray for your people that have been patiently enduring. It is time. Ha! Glory to God. To inherit that for which they have waited. Hallelujah. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord God Almighty, you've done it. You've said it. We believe it when we receive it in the name of Jesus. Let the words of the Lord no longer be delayed. Time no longer. Even as you showed that the angel, he put his foot, one foot here, one foot there, lifted up his hand and swear, no more delay. And even the prophet Elisha, we saw, he said, what shall I wait anymore? Behold, saith the Lord, there's a change, there's a coming, there's a turning around. By this time, tomorrow, he said. Lord, I pray, let there be a prophetic release, the fruit of the patience of your people. We have been growing our faith through patience, and you have taught us this, and we're ready. Hallelujah. We're ready to receive even the fruit of our laboring in patience. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, I thank you. I give you the praise and I give you the glory in the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.